Our scripture reading comes to us from God's Word this morning from Luke 9. Luke 9, and we will begin reading at verse 12. Jesus and his disciples had retreated to Bethsaida. And late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, "Send the crowd away so that they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place here." He replied, "You give them something to eat." They answered, "We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all this crowd." About 5,000 men were there. But he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50 each." The disciples did so, and everybody sat down. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to set before the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over.
Great. Thank you, Peter, and thank you, Terry, for that children's message. We are looking at the World Hunger Sunday this morning, and thinking about how we can help. This particular story is part of what we've been looking at over the last number of Sundays, the different meals that Jesus is part of, the different times of eating that people is engaged in with people. And this is just the next story in Luke. We were going through the Gospel of Luke and seeing how Jesus ministers through meals that he has with people. And here again, this is a meal that Jesus has with 5,000 people. It was interesting. We were at Breakforth, and there were about 5,000 people there. And yeah, that's a lot of people. And to actually feed that many people too. Breakforth was worried about it as an organization, and they had special food come in, and they had a special area where people could come in order to be fed, because it's hard to feed 5,000 people. But it isn't even just the feeding of the 5,000. It's Jesus is speaking to us a message again. The truth of who he is and what he has come to do, and how he calls us to receive that truth and to be part of living that out in this world. And so through this meal, our text, verse 13, "You give them something to eat." Jesus wants us, even in our eating and recognizing this meal, to call us to be aware of those who don't have enough, those who suffer, those who are hungry. And he calls us to take a stand of faith and to then actively work out that faith. Let me just go through the details of the story with you and let it speak into your heart and life again this morning, how God calls us to trust in him for ourselves and for helping others and being a witness that he calls us to be. It's very, very clear in the reading, as Peter began at verse 12, that the disciples are aware of this problem, that there are a large number here who need to be fed. And what is their response? "Jesus, send them away." Send them away. That's one possible response. That's, in fact, the response of sin in us. That's the response of, well, yes, they are hungry, but the attitude of our hearts too, send them away. Let them take care of themselves somehow, and that'll just have to be the way it is. In a sense, we wish they would go away, that it wouldn't be a problem that would come in front of us, and even that why bother having a World Hunger Sunday? Why bother with these Peter fish? And you notice here, I put the Peter fish here too. These are small. I mean, we should have huge Peter fish. So you walk in. I mean, the problem is huge, right? Why did they even have just such a small Peter fish? And are we really making any difference? And there's so many people. And so let's just not really mention it. Because it's not really in our face all the time. If we just say, Jesus, send them away. If we just put them out of our mind. If we just click through the channel when the ad comes up, we just click on to another sports channel. And then everything's fine, right? That is even the attitude of the disciples here. Just such a big problem. Let's just not mention it. Let's put it out of our mind. Did you also notice in verse 12, they give an excuse. They actually give an excuse. Jesus, send them away because we are in a remote place. It says a remote place. And so on the one hand, yeah, they are out in the area in Israel where there is not a lot of towns. And so, of course, there's not much. But if we take that sense into our experience, and we would say, well, most of the hunger is in Africa and Asia. It's remote from us. It's far away. So Jesus, don't bother us, because the problem is in a remote place. And really, what can we do? It's interesting, the wording, and it strikes us that way. And often too, we think, well, it's far away. There's nothing we can do. They better just help themselves. And so we are really right here in terms of Jesus wanting to minister at the time to his disciples and Jesus wanting to minister to us today. The World Renew material for World Hunger Sunday includes the facts of world hunger, and these, you hear many different things. I suggest to you these are very, very accurate. They look carefully into it. So it is 805 million people who do not have enough food for a healthy and active life. So it's not that they will die immediately tomorrow, but there are many who just do not have enough. And it is mainly Africa and Asia. Well, that's a remote place. It is a remote place. Coming back to the effect, the 3 million children under the age of 5 die each year. So out of the 800 million, 300 million, direct effect. Because of hunger, they become ill, they die. And then about 100 million under the age of 5, just underweight and stunted growth. And so it's a real struggle for them. They survive. But it's not easy, and it's not good. And then if you look on to when the kids go to school, 66 million elementary school kids go to school hungry every day. And these are the reality of the suffering that we face. Now, here in Luke 9, you recognize, out of these facts, there's big numbers. Large numbers of people. In Luke 9 as well, it's actually a large number. 5,000, large number of people. Verse 14 says there were 5,000 men. And if you look more closely, just also, if you look in the world of hunger, if you went and looked a little further in terms of how hunger affects things in this world, you would find more and more people in need. And if you think about the story here too in Luke 9, where it says there were 5,000 men, Jesus feeds the 5,000. But if you look a little closer, there were likely women and children there. It was a crowd of people who had heard about Jesus or following Jesus, and in those crowds would be men and women and children. And so you are looking again at more and more and more need. And when we look at some of the problems in the world, like world hunger, it becomes overwhelming that way. Because even if we do a little bit, there's always more and more and more. And so this tends to justify in our own minds and hearts, well, what can I do anyway? And so that is also very much in front of the disciples and in front of us, and that's a response that we can have. Then I also want to point out from verse 11. We didn't read verse 11, but in verse 11, the context of the feeding of the 5,000, it speaks about Jesus, who, when the crowds came to him, he welcomed them and he spoke to them about the kingdom of God. And then they stay, and then they need to be fed, and then he feeds them. But before that actually happens, he speaks to them about the kingdom of God. And that context strikes me as the context that we know as well in terms of world hunger, where Jesus talks about the kingdom of God is coming. And that's going to make a huge difference. And to recognize in terms of the world hunger problem, there's all kinds of world influences that cause that, the kingdoms of this world. And so if you think about world hunger, then you hear stories of people and governments in Africa who take the food aid that you and I send, And that food aid gets seized and put in warehouses, and it gets given to people those government officials like, and others from tribes they don't like just starve. And we want to feed everybody. Everybody who's hungry should be fed. But the kingdoms of this world are not like that. And the actual governments of countries in Africa and Asia are letting their own people starve and die for political purposes, conflicts, tribalism, war, all kinds of things that are unethical. Other countries take the food we send and sell it and buy guns and shoot their own people. The kingdoms of this world cause the suffering. And how do we address that? What can we do about that? All of that is in view here. Jesus isn't just saying, oh, I don't know about that, or I can't do anything about that, or I wonder about that. He says, my kingdom is coming. And when you do what I ask you to do, that's also part of it, that this will change when Jesus makes all things new. And even now, to bring a Christian witness, a hope in Christ, along with addressing the need, that, even to put it this way, wouldn't it be something, if we could actually fix all those wars and conflicts, that we could actually stop authorities and governments from selling the food and buying guns. Wouldn't it be something that we could just take care of all of that too? And Jesus is saying, I can do that. And Jesus is working at that now, even through what we are doing. And in the end, his kingdom will come. And that's what he is speaking to the crowd in verse 11. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God. All injustice and all that is wrong in those ways will be answered. So our coming to this problem has that hope as well. But until that great day, when Jesus comes again and everything is made new, what does Jesus ask us to do? He understands the struggles. He understands the problems. And as the disciples come to him and he sees the problem, what does he say to the disciples? Verse 13, you do what you can. You give them something to eat. Not everything. Don't fix everything. But you do what you can. You give them something to eat. A simple starting point for the disciples and also for us as church to bring the hope of Jesus and the kingdom he is bringing to affirm that hope in actually trying to just do what we can. And when we do what we can, even in a little way, We are proclaiming a big hope, and that goes together as we do this work, that Jesus cares about these people. It says in the parallel account in Mark chapter 6, Luke doesn't include the phrase here, but that there's agreement in the parallel accounts, and in Mark chapter 6, it says Jesus had compassion on them. He had compassion on them. And we need to have that same compassion to give them something to eat. Now the question remains, how do we do that? How do we actually do that? Have that compassion. And it begins with having that vision of Jesus at work. And his compassion and him wanting to minister to these people physically and spiritually. There is still that hindrance of our attitude. Are we going to help? And that's very clear in this story as well. Here in Luke 9, there's a graphic picture of the wrong attitude. A sinful attitude. There is a need, and it's clear to Jesus, it's clear to the disciples, and I think it's clear to the 5,000. There is a need. We're in a remote place. There is a need that people would be fed here. And so the word goes out. It's not as clear in this particular account, in the account in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, then that's where the little boy comes forward and offers his lunch. That's part of the parallel in the parallel stories, right? Little boy comes forward and says, I have some food, and that gets shared. But the overall picture of these 5,000 people who have come and who are traveling and come to this spot and are listening to Jesus, they had some food with them. They wouldn't just be out for a day without anything. There is absolute certainty that they would have had some food with them. A bun, some dried fish, some figs. There would have been some food. And so as the question goes out to the whole group now we are here, how are we going to just make sure everybody has something? Could you share with the one next to you? Is there anyone who can help here? And there is no one. Striking. Once you realize they would have had some food for themselves, but there would be some food. 5,000 people. and no one is willing to share. That's an attitude problem. That's a, I'll just look out for myself, thank you very much. And that's very clear here too, when the disciples said too, there's really nothing. And the question of their response, we have five loaves of bread and two fish, that's highlighted in John's gospel, that the boy brought some food. The suggestion here, the implication here might be the disciples had something with them too. And so this is what they have for Jesus and themselves. But that attitude of simply refusing to help. Jesus looked out at the crowd and sees that unwillingness. And that's the sad world we live in. That's the vision of people all around us here too. I'm just taking care of myself. And I have some stuff that I'm not going to share. And that was in that crowd then too. Human nature is no different. And that has to be broken through first of all. People who have but do not do their part. Jesus sees that. And he calls us to do our part, to change our attitude, seeing his love for us, seeing what he has done for us, seeing how he has provided us as the bread of life, that we would respond in sharing that along with the things he has blessed us with. So the need is there. The word goes out, the feeding of the 5,000. Will you share? And there's all kinds of excuses. There are all kinds of thoughts that it doesn't happen. World Hunger Sunday reminds us again of the need. And in this meal that Jesus shares with this people, he reminds us again of our defensive attitude that we cannot help. And yet it gives us the answer, the way to move forward, to help people in need, to give some hope and some food. And it's that going forward in faith. Because there is no food. There is no food. There is no help. And yet, when Jesus says to the crowd and to the disciples, have them sit down in groups of about 50. Well, we can have them sit down in groups of 50, but we can't give them anything. It's like us if we have a circle of friends. I mentioned Thursday night a circle of friends. We get them sitting around in groups of 8. But what's the point if we have no food to give you? Oh, sit down in groups of 8. But it's in Jesus saying and in the disciples responding and in the people sitting, there is a sense of, hey, Jesus can do something. And though there's little that we're working with, Jesus can do great things. And though there's all kinds of hesitancy in us and in others and in world governments and people in other countries who aren't really doing anything or helping at all or actually hurting, still we believe with these little fish and with the work that's done by World Renew that Jesus will do something. Amen. And so we come in faith. And that's the picture here, that in faith, the disciples have the people sit down. Jesus takes the little that is given, and he does amazing things. Verse 17, he feeds till all are satisfied. And you have to realize, even with the extras, that this is a picture, not that Jesus is just feeding people. It is a picture of the Messiah of God coming down from heaven to make all things right. Because it says in the Old Testament, when the Messiah comes, there will be an abundance of bread, an abundance of wine. There will be all things made right, all things made new. And in our doing what we can, we are taking that hope and bringing it to the world. Sure, things are wrong now. Things are not good now. But we trust in Jesus, who is at work, and when he comes again, everyone will be made new. So we have this hope, we have this faith, and we entrust our efforts to Jesus, who will feed both body and soul. And it was so nice. I hope you took the time to read through the devotions, the different stories of what Jesus is doing. Just to highlight a few, in Honduras, where some of the funds went to a church and they decided to help a widow who wasn't even part of the church. And they just went out in the love of Jesus, and that widow received the help she needed, and the whole community came together and who is this, Lord? Who is this, Jesus? Why are you doing this? And the word of hope and the gospel went out. And it mentions the Haiti response after the earthquake, and we can think, too, what can we do? And small things were done, tarps and toilets and some food and some goats. And now, too, a whole community there is just giving thanks to God just because a little effort was made, a few things were done. And the story from Senegal, too, the young lady who was sent to learn how to sew, and then she can come back, and then through that too, she sews clothes for her family and neighbors. She makes a little bit, but she also sows, a little different sewing, the seed of faith. And the Lord continues to do amazing things. So we want to, through this ministry, through our own desire to respond to God's call on our life, you give them something to eat, that we do that, trusting Jesus will do great things through us. Amen.